Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. A teacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer, so he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, "The most important one is this. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God is the only God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two." The teacher of the law said to Jesus, "Well done, teacher. It is true, as you say, that only the Lord is God, and that there is no other God but He. And to love God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than to offer animals and other sacrifices to God." Jesus noticed how wise his answer was, and so he told him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After this, nobody dared to ask Jesus any more questions.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we pray that this morning you will open up our hearts and minds to see fresh truths in your word, to know you more and love you more, and to be able to draw closer to you and allow you to continue your work of transformation within us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're continuing in our study of Mark's Gospel, but we're jumping on a chapter. Last week was chapter 10, this week we're in chapter 12, and in a couple of weeks' time we'll be going back to chapter 11. Now the themes in this passage may well be familiar to you, but quite often when we think about this commandment, we think about Luke's account of Jesus quoting the great commandment. And when Luke talks about it, that's the time when Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan, probably the best known parable in the Bible. That's quite likely that the incident quoted here by Mark is actually a different event to the one that Luke recalls, although the question is the same. Certainly, Mark places this event in a different place in his gospel. And he places it as one of many questions that were being fired at Jesus by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in the lead up to Jesus' death on the cross. Earlier on in chapter 12, you can read that Mark says some Pharisees and some members of Herod's party were sent to Jesus to trap him with questions. They began by asking a question about paying taxes. Then they asked Jesus some questions about resurrection. And it was at this point in the events that we join the story today. And so it was from this background that the teacher of the law asked his question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Now, Mark makes clear that the teacher had been impressed by the answers that Jesus had given to previous questions. It appears that this particular teacher of the law wasn't part of the group that was being hostile towards Jesus. Nevertheless, this was a crucial question, both for the teacher and also for Jesus. And Jesus answered the question by citing actually two commandments. The first commandment he quoted from Deuteronomy 6, words that we heard earlier during our dedication of Ava Rose. He said, "The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." In other words, what he was saying was that God should be number one. God should be our priority in life. And we should love him with all that we are and with all that we have. So let's take a few moments to look at the different elements within this commandment. Firstly, when Jesus says we should love God with all of our heart, he's not referring to the heart as being that pumping station in the middle of our bodies. Our heart is the command centre of our body. It's the place that rules our motivations, where dreams are formed, plans are hatched, and decisions are made. Our heart is the very centre of our being, where our feelings and our attitudes are rooted, and from which comes our ultimate decision as to whether to choose to follow God and go his way or to go our own way. And so to love God with our heart is to love God from the very centre of our being and to allow him to shape our lives from our relationship with him and our acceptance of his love for us. Now here was the key that lay behind all the commandments. That our love for God is actually in response to his love for us. Our actions, our words, our attitudes, our motivations should all be shaped by our desire to please him because of our love for him. Now the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew the law completely. They did everything they could to obey it. They worked hard to dot every I and cross every T. And yet, they hadn't grasped the heart of the law. In fact, they were slaves to it. They allowed it to rule them rather than responding to its author in love. No wonder they didn't recognize who Jesus really was when they saw him. The law had become their God, and they'd lost sight of the reasons behind it. Today, on Mothering Sunday, we've been dedicating Ava Rose. Ava's probably a little bit little to have popped down the shop and got some flowers for her mum today. But when she's big enough, I'm sure that Amber won't be wanting Ava to go and get some flowers because she thinks, oh, mum feels I should go and get some flowers for her. She's going to want her to do it as an expression of her love towards her. In the same way, loving God with our heart is actually an expression of our love for him. We shouldn't feel constantly under pressure to obey this commandment, living in fear of God. Rather, we should want to please him because we love him so much. These are challenging words from Jesus. But if that wasn't enough, Jesus went on to say we should also love God with all of our soul. Now, our soul is the source of vitality in life. It brings strength of will. It's our energy, our purpose in life. It inspires us and directs us. You see, loving God is more than an emotion. It's an act of the will. And when life is tough, we sometimes have to choose to love God and follow him, even if we don't really feel like it. When we do that, that's what it means to love God with our soul. To allow him to be our purpose and inspiration in everything we do, whatever life is like at the time. Then Jesus said we should love God with all of our mind. Our mind, of course, is where we think about things. It's our intelligence. You know, there are many people who don't go to church that think that when Christians come to church, they leave their brains at the door. They think Christianity doesn't make sense, that people don't really think about it. But that's just not true. God created us, and he created us with a mind. He wants us to think. He wants us to question and learn and begin to understand. He wants us to use our intellect when we're worshipping him and when we're seeking to follow him just as much as our emotions. And finally, Jesus said, we should love God with all of our strength. And in this context, strength refers to everything physical, including our possessions. The more we learn to love God, the more we recognise that actually everything we have is because of him. The Bible tells us that God wants to bless us with good things because he loves us. He wants us to enjoy life. But he also wants us to love him with everything we have and to use what he's blessed us with to worship him, to serve him, and to enable his kingdom to grow. When you begin to break down what Jesus was saying, it really is very challenging. Whether you're new to faith or whether you've been a Christian for a really long time, who can say that actually they've grasped all of these four things and are able to put them in practice every second of the day? This requires complete dedication to Jesus, allowing him to reign as Lord over every part of our lives. But it's important for us to not look at this as a burden. The word commandment, I think, can actually feel a bit scary and quite restricting. But in actual fact, this commandment is not a law that we're not allowed to break. It's a natural response to our love for God because of the love he has for us. And the consequence of this kind of response is actually that we're released to live in the freedom that God created for us, fulfilling our potential and achieving our purpose in life. Rather than this commandment being a tool to enslave us, it's actually a means for living life in all its fullness. But this was not the only answer Jesus gave to the teacher. He continued by saying, the second commandment is this: love your neighbour as you love yourself. Now, on this occasion, Jesus didn't go on to give details of what he meant by the term neighbour. But the fact is that Jesus called his followers to continue his mission in the world. And that's more than proclaiming who he is verbally. It's actively demonstrating his love and his compassion, choosing to live by his values and providing opportunities for others to join his kingdom too. God is love, and his love should radiate through us to other people. Now, having said that, it's important to know that there are two parts to that sentence. Jesus said, love your neighbour as you love yourself. In other words, we should love ourselves as well. Now, what Jesus is saying here is not that we should be arrogant, not that we should be egotistical. We shouldn't have a really high opinion of ourselves in a way that we become superior and think we're better than everyone else. We have to remember every one of us is in need of the grace of God just as much as anyone else. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to have a really low self-image, thinking that we're worse than other people or less important, constantly putting the needs of others before our own. God loves us and he wants us to look after ourselves. And we all know that the reality is we can't go on giving and giving and doing things for other people without taking time for ourselves, because in the end, we won't be able to help anyone. We've run out of energy. It's a fine line, and at times it can be difficult to balance all the demands and pressures that life puts on us. But, you know, I think there is a really important message here for all of us today, that we need to have a healthy love of ourselves and to positively look after ourselves to enable us to be there for other people. Now, after Jesus had answered the question, it's clear that the teacher really had grasped the heart of these commandments. The law was not about rituals and sacrifices. It was about relationship with God. And Mark says in verse 34, Jesus noticed how wise the teacher's answers were. And he told him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God." Now this would be a huge encouragement to the teacher, but it was also an enormous challenge. It was encouraging because this teacher was clearly way ahead of many of the other teachers of the law. Mark had told us that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees had been hostile towards Jesus. Some of the teachers were even seeking to destroy him. But clearly, not all of them were against Jesus. And this teacher, having been impressed by Jesus' answer to a previous question, clearly found again that this answer Jesus gave was resonating within him. He knew what Jesus meant by it. And yet, Jesus' response was a huge challenge. Yes, he'd grasped the heart of the law, but he still hadn't quite got who Jesus is and how that impacted his life. You see, when we want to be part of the kingdom of God, it takes more than simply agreeing with Jesus' teaching. We don't just think, that makes sense, that's a nice idea. To be part of the kingdom means submitting entirely to him as Lord and Saviour. Recognising all that Jesus has done for us, acknowledging him as the Son of God, and choosing to follow him, to give our lives to serve him. Now, it doesn't mean taking the fun out of life. People often think that following Jesus means you get presented with a huge long list of the things that you aren't allowed to do. But don't you think it's quite interesting when Jesus was asked about the most important commandment that he didn't say anything you aren't allowed to do. He said two things that proactively you should do. Following Jesus doesn't mean having less of a life. It means having life in abundance as we learn to live the way God created us to be. It's choosing to live in a way that pleases God. Not because we have to, but because we want to, as an expression of our love for him in heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's understanding our own value and worth because of all that Jesus did for us. And from that place of security, learning to love others. Perhaps following the greatest commandment can be summed up well through a story. Back in the 1800s, a young Englishman travelled to California in search of gold. And after several months of prospecting, he struck it rich. On his way home, he decided to stop for a few days in New Orleans. And soon after he arrived, he came across a large crowd. As he approached, he realised they were gathered for a slave auction. Now, slavery had been illegal for years in England, so this man was curious to see what was happening. As he joined the crowds, he heard the words, "Sold!" And he saw a middle-aged man being taken away. Next, a beautiful young girl was pushed onto the stage and made to walk around so everyone could see her. The English miner listened as the men around him were laughing and joking and making evil remarks about her. And then the bidding began. Within minutes, the bids had gone far higher than the usual price for a slave girl. And it soon became apparent that two men wanted to buy this girl. So they kept on outbidding each other. And in between, they kept laughing and saying what they were going to do and how the other one would miss out because they were going to get this girl. The miner stood silent. Anger welled up inside of him. Finally, one of the men bid a price that was way beyond the reach of the other. And the girl stood there with her face pointed to the floor. "Going once," said the auctioneer. "Going twice." And quickly, the English miner yelled out a price that was twice the previous bid, an amount far higher than any amount bid for a slave. The crowd laughed. "This man must be joking." The auctioneer called the miner forward to see his money, and the man opened up his bag of gold. Waving the girl over to him, the auctioneer shook his head in disbelief. The girl walked down the steps. She was eye to eye with the miner, and through clenched teeth, she said, "I hate you." Without a word, the miner paid the auctioneer, took the girl's hand and led her away from the crowd and down the street. He seemed to be looking for something in particular. They walked up one street, down another, back another one. Eventually, he stopped by a shop. The girl couldn't see what kind of shop it was. She waited outside and the miner went in and began to talk to an elderly man. She couldn't work out what they were saying, but their voices were getting louder and louder. And then she heard the old man say, "It's the law, it's the law." She tried to peer through the window, and she saw the miner pour out his remaining gold onto the table. And then the old man picked up the gold and went into a back room and came out with a piece of paper. And he signed it, and the miner signed it. As the miner came out the door, the girl looked in the other direction. Stretching out his hand, he said to the girl, "Here, these are your manumission papers. You're free." The girl just stood there looking away. "Here," he said, "take them. You're free." "I hate you," she said. "Why are you making fun of me?" "No, listen," said the miner. "They are your freedom papers. You are a free person." The girl took the papers and she saw he was telling the truth. "You just bought me," she said. "Now you're setting me free." "That's why I bought you," said the miner. "I bought you to set you free." The beautiful young girl fell to her knees in front of the miner, tears streaming down her face. "You bought me to set me free. You bought me to set me free," she said over and over again. And the miner said nothing. Clutching his muddy boots, the girl looked up at him and said, "All I ever want to do is serve you because you bought me to set me free." Each one of us has been bought at a price through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he did that so that we could be free. Free to live as children of God in his kingdom. Free to know his love and love him in return. Free to fulfill our purpose for which he created us. As we begin to grasp that incredible truth, surely our response is to want to love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. And like the slave girl, to respond by saying, "All I want to do is serve you because you bought me to set me free." Let's pray together. Loving God, we will never fully grasp the depth of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross because of your amazing love for us. Today, we sit here humbled by your grace and mercy. And Lord, we want to say that we want to receive your love afresh. Lord, for some of us, this may be the first time that we've done that. Give us the courage to allow you to love us and to respond to your love. For others, we've been following you for years, and yet we know it's still a challenge to love you with our heart and soul and mind and strength. Lord, help us to love you more and to show that love for you in all that we do, in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.